Bonsoir, bienvenue. Nathan Trentral, qui devait être là ce soir, n'est pas là ce soir. On l'a su il y a très peu de temps. Alors la semaine dernière, avec Milady Renoir, on a décidé de se rencontrer quand même à distance. Et grâce à Claire Spiteri et Tim Moreau, on a réalisé un petit film que vous allez voir où on l'entend lire ses poèmes et échanger sur ses poèmes. Voilà. Très bon visionnage.
Voilà, c'est bon. Recording.
Chokas. My mala brai in the snice. Ekstani en kan. Jou die ander mense dop wat van het. Dat is my idee van 'n goeie tyd. Slang amal hulle self enjoy. Is al ekie hoef te participate. Die old school iets speelklap het. En niemand in Leibus complain ooit. Het is part van die plekse character. Die muziek het de waai om die mens te nek. En tye waar nog active participants in Leibus. Voor die trouwe, die kennis, die wijn, die drugs. Die vrouwens in die kompijs. En die man staan zo rondom die vee. Mijn opa alleen in sy kamer sy trouwe fetus. Maar hy is in een goeie moer. Mijn opa is amper klaar met die leven. En na hy klaar is, gaan hy my auntie April huis erf. Een week later, gaan sy huis verkoop. En ons allemaal op die straat sit. En dan gaan ons voor die next 5 jaar rondwaal. Vanaf een temporary plek, naar die next. My ma gaan by haar sister Nazli bly. Waar hulle verhaai met onze sister. Dus POW's en treed. My oudste sister. Gaan bij mijn auntie Juna blij. Maar we gaan vader en waar niet voor om te trouwen. Dan heeft al 3 kinders. En ze kunnen zo samenleven. Nee. Mijn jongste broer zit daarin. Gaan bij alle blij. Mijn andere zuster tijd hem. Ook. Met haar baby. Ik en mijn broer André. Gaan klomplekken blij. We gaan even met pa blij. En zijn vrouw. Wat doe ik? Hij zit denk van April. Als hij in een bad mood is. Ik heb ze zomaar huis. Maar ze is vandaag in de beste moer. Wat ze nog een lang tijd was. Als ik kwaad is van mijn ma. Dan was hij DVD player in de kamer bij haar. Ik kan niet meer voor ons kijken. In de muziek luisteren. Maar nu was ze niet meer kwaad. Zo de DVD staan op in de voorkamer. Mijn ma had Uncle Nicky. Ook aan die paardse karaoke series leen. Van hier mensatie. Dan is al jylle aan rondom my veer. En bouwkomplotte. En betel jylle nog my kansen bella. Kijk wat die een. Kan die meeste gangse taal. En sy tijd met sy. Hy het al die man. Aan een long weg gedrak. Syke 50 jaar se drak. Hier is tussen hulle. 70. Asof hy al betint ja. En die bad 120 ja. Dat zo'n boy in de kant werd. Zo. Als zo'n powerful drug force. Oké. Gaat iemand inevitably les raken voor de button. Allemaal maken de zakken leeg. En dan zit samen. Altijd samen. 27 rand. Bij hem staat voor die public record. Dat 27. Of veel nummers. Objection, duly noted. Met zijn knowledge van een gangster is het derde katte display. Maar niet een van die andere geeks kan hem contradicten. Maar die goed op te slaan gaan. Als hij de rest van ons klaar geëten, in de middle age delinquents, klaar geroek in mijn mokken. We gaan allemaal karaoke zingen in de voorreis. Boy zit op zijn harken langs de thee. Dus iemand wat dankstoel is voor die bourgeoisie. Hij zingt een ketchup song, maar het is eigen lyrics. Hier is lyrics in. Maar meer zoals een lang droom. Net tussen een random phrases. Dus I want to marry you. Ze maken. Dit is een. Je ain't heavy. He's my brother. But some reason decided. Ik is je brother. En die zo. Ik weet niet hoe ik heb zeker al niet 3 keer in mijn leven met hem gepraat. Elke zomer met mazen was het dood. Ik kan er zo hard niet om samen te zingen. En die ene ding was allemaal een kree. Dat de sentimentality had. Hij praat zijn hele antwoord met Whitney Houston. Specifically, I'm not afraid to do it on my own. I don't care if I'm right or wrong. Met special emphasis op een right or wrong stukje. Ik denk het is een wild message voor je is. Elke keer is voor hem zijn. Wil allemaal dat hij moet klassen. Allemaal denken als je nog te jong komt zo'n poester is. En ja, wat van je? Die altijd even van je moet gaan pie. Maar elke keer als voor hem gaan pie. Dan stelt Albert zijn kans en dan zei hij. Hij heeft nog 2 kansjes. Ja, Albert is een groot mens, by the way. Ja, Albert zei die altijd, karaoke is dit ook. Ik zeg, how deep is your love? Dus iedereen net, wie net voor hemzelf zijn. Het is een van die pages, maar die maakt me meestal van die 4e bro. Die iemand te woord is van die cocaïne op het dos. En is alsof ze het woord gefaked. Levens toegetrekken. Blackface aangezet. Mijn malen betaald met ze. We zullen bro. Ze hebben geen exchange voor buttons. Ze hebben pijn voor de beer. Ze hebben mensen voor de windy house. Ze hebben beauty voor de beast. Ze hebben stage voor de shopyard. Stardom voor obscurity. Succes voor failure. Caviar voor het zoekostijd.
Merci Nathan pour la lecture.
Thank you Nathan for reading.
Est-ce qu'on peut partir du titre et développer plusieurs aspects en fait du recueil?
So could you start from the title and also develop on the different aspects of your collection?
Par exemple, évidemment la temporalité du recueil, combien de temps, comment ça se passe pour toi à l'écriture? Et aussi la signification de Chokers qui est traduit en français vache enragée et de voir comment ce titre et ce que ça produit en toi d'avoir ce genre de titre pour les poèmes et on parlera ensuite du contenu quoi.
So especially about timing, how much does it take for you to write and also why you what the title Chokers means it's been translated into French as mad cows. Can you tell us more about the title?
Yeah, okay. So in the South African context, a chokers and survivors, so it's a sandwich. This is a peanut butter and jam sandwich. And we have this kind of feeding scheme at our schools. When I was growing up, we had these feeding schemes. That it's by so it's kind of this it's a horrible sandwich that most of the kids they don't want to take the sandwich home. They don't want to be seen eating it because it's like a symbol of poverty. If you take the sandwich, everyone knows you don't have food at home. And we live for a year exclusively off those sandwiches. So all the bread the other kids didn't want to take, we would take the sandwiches home, and kind of that would be our lunch and our supper. So, so it has that kind of.
Je comprends, Claire, ça va.
Ok, pas de souci, ça marche.
Go on, Nathan, sorry.
Go on, sorry.
So yeah, so that's the kind of that's one significance for me personally. It's also obviously to play on, it's obviously a play on words as well because when I wrote the book, I wanted the book to feel physical. I didn't want it to feel like poetry that you read. And you sit with your friends and having a cup of tea. You know, it's not a cup of tea poetry. It's sort of something that you have to feel. So the word choker and chokers as the connotation to sport as well. So it's kind of it's the team that goes to the final and loses. So I kind of wanted that. That was kind of sort of the double meaning of the title, is this thing of people. In my life, we have the chokers. We have those who almost made it and kind of fell off the grid, and those of us who kind of came through.
À qui s'adresse? Sorry.
So, Yeah, so that's one part of it. And sort of my process for writing the book was, I think also, I think you can say very physical, because it was written during a very difficult time. My wife's mother just died. And then I think a month after that, my daughter was born. We got married around that same time. So it was all this kind of, all of these things going on. And so me being a father for the first time. So I was in that space the whole time when I was writing the book. And I wasn't really thinking about sitting down and writing. What I would do most of the time is I would have my daughter, because she was still very small. So she'd be on my shoulder, I'd be walking around the house with her trying to get her to sleep. Then I would think of poetry, sort of a way to distract myself. And then later I would sit down and I would write it out. I think the whole process was just kind of...
Sorry.
Yeah, it was just kind of a way for me to kind of deal with everything that's going on around us. Because from my background, you're not kind of allowed really to express a lot of emotion or always in this fighting mode. So you have to kind of find a way of to just kind of say things. And with poetry, it was a way for me to kind of just say some things, at least say something. So that was the process for me.
Tu parles ici, Nathan, d'exprimer la multitude des faits qui sont arrivés dans ta vie dans un très peu de temps. Est-ce que tu peux aussi alors dire à qui s'adresse cette poésie? Tu dis que ce n'est pas une poésie de salon de thé, mais à qui s'adresse-t-elle? Et après, je veux bien que tu nous dises pourquoi elle est écrite en caps et pourquoi cette langue spécifiquement. Ça, c'est peut-être sous-entendu dans ce que tu dis, mais est-ce que tu peux l'expliquer? Donc, dire à qui ça s'adresse et en quoi cette langue est particulière et nécessaire pour la poésie que tu écris.
Okay, so you're speaking about expressing yourself and speaking about a multitude of events, special times, difficult times, and you said that your poetry does not address people who just drink tea around a cup of tea. So who does your poetry address first, and then why do you write in caps? Why the choice of this language?
Okay, this is a good question. I write my poetry for myself, in the sense where it's to write about things that, as a reader, I don't find those things to express, because when you read, you're reading to find something you relate to, on that kind of. Well, I do find books that I relate to, but these kind of experiences that's so unique to myself. A special kind of, a strange kind of existence, or poverty, or loss, that I look forward to in other books that I love, that I find other things, and I don't find it. So I think I have to write this book for myself, so I can read these things back to myself. And I'm sure in the process of doing that, there's other people. So I'm not unique. I'm not special. So I know there's other people who read this and that will also relate to it. They'll also find that they've been looking for this experience that no one else seems to have expressed. This kind of unique experience of being my cultural background in this country. So they'll find they relate to it. When I write in caps, I write in it honestly because it's my language. It's the language I've grown up with. It's the language I express myself best in. And I always felt kind of, why not? Why am I not allowed to do that? And this idea in this country that you're free to do whatever you want to do, it's a democracy, but you're not really free to do whatever you want to do. For I'm not the first person who's tried to write in caps, and other people that have been either ignored or ridiculed. And also there's a certain cultural identity, a certain type of, for me, as what you call Matisse there, what we call Kalidja, there's certain identity that people attach to us, and certain identity people attach to our language. It's almost, the best way I can express it, it's like a coon Kun kind of culture, a Kun identity. And one of the reasons I wanted to write in Kaps was I wanted to bring the true nature, our true nature as people. I want to show that. I want to show we're not clans. We're people who've suffered a lot. And we can be dangerous people. And I don't mean that in the sense to be threatening, but to say that don't take our agency away from us. Don't turn us into this little kind of dogs that you've turned us into. We are people who are willing to fight for ourselves. So that's why it was important to write in the language as well. Yeah.
Est-ce que tu penses dans le processus de l'écriture que la portée politique est presque est nécessaire? Est-ce qu'elle te vient pendant l'écriture ou c'est une fois entre guillemets l'objet terminé que tu te dis voilà je sais aussi que ça peut avoir une portée politique?
So in the process of writing, your political goals, do you feel like they are necessary? Do you have political goals when writing, or does it come afterwards? Once you are writing, do you think about politics?
It's very difficult for me. For me, it's always the political as personal. It's never for. I'm not trying to I don't have a goal in mind, you know, and for very simple reasons. And I don't believe in politics really, you know. It's politics for me is a game for people who know how to play it, and I don't believe in leaders. I don't want to follow anyone. I don't want anyone to follow me. A lot of what I do, what's more important for me politically, is to create a record, is to say if anyone's interested in understanding the true experience of a group of people, here's a record of that. Here's a way of saying that this is how it really happened. It's been unpolished. It's unpolished. It's not untrue in any way. I don't try to make myself look good when I write. I don't try to put myself up as someone who has answers to anything. I only have answers for myself. I have questions I ask to myself, and then I answer them. And I love in that way. And I don't represent, you know, except myself, except my own kind of experiences. Politics for me, especially in this country, politics are incredibly corrupt. As anywhere, I suppose, it's incredibly corrupt, incredibly stupid. It's all the stupid people are in politics. I always think, question I always have myself is, what does politics have to do with leadership? You know, it's like people just take these things for granted. They expect it kind of, they take it as something that's natural, but it doesn't seem natural to me. All the people are leading, or at least capable of leading. So I don't think in that kind of political way. I always think kind of, I'm more concerned about the small things though. Life experiences of just someone being able to say that that person dies. It's no record of that person. I've known a lot. How many people have I known? They die and there's no record of anything they did. Some of these people, I'm the only person who's kept a record. I'm on of my grandfather.
I'm just going to just say what I wanted to say, but I was making a difference between being political and making politics. So because for me, in Belgium or in Europe, let's say, we have a very specific political view on South Africa because of the recent history. The history in Belgium compared to Congo is quite far. It's still every day that black people and mixed race people are being discriminated. So everyone which speaks for its community makes it political. But for you, as I assume, it's being political as being just a black person who speaks freely in media or making poetry or just having a book. Is that for me? It's an image. Do you confirm that by being political, not being a leader, which is different for me too?
Yeah. Actually, it's Angie. Angie could said this to me once. I had exactly the same conversation with her, and she told me, Nathan, you're right about politics, and there's nothing more political than poverty. So yes, in that way, I absolutely agree. And very little has changed in South Africa. Still the same people who benefited out of apartheid, they're still benefiting from it. Yeah. The same people who were oppressed are still being oppressed. So yeah, that's what I mean with the political as personal, or the personal as political. Yeah. Of course, we're all kind of trapped in this political, it's a political trap at the moment.
It's a trick, yeah. Est-ce que Nathan, est-ce que tu peux on va continuer juste sur cette petite partie-là et après on reviendra à d'autres projets aussi que tu as engagés avec ton frère, avec ta compagne, enfin avec d'autres personnes. Mais est-ce que tu peux parler de est-ce que tu sais expliquer ou est-ce que tu as une idée de pourquoi les écrivains africains du Sud qui nous parviennent en tout cas en Europe sont blancs et donc j'avais quelques noms mais on s'en fout un peu mais voilà. Est-ce que cette question-là, tu sais pourquoi ça arrive encore?
Okay, so we will speak in a few minutes about your projects with your brother, with your partner. But one more question about writing in South Africa. Do you know why why most of the South African writers that we read here, apart from South Africa, especially in Europe, are white? Milady says she had many names, but she won't mention them. But why are South African writers white? The ones that get to us.
Yeah. It's the same as with everything else. It's a matter of access. So. This is not only a matter of white people publishing overseas. It's also a matter of what gets published here. So it's predominantly books by white people who gets published here, and the publishing houses are run by white people. Black people don't have that kind of money invested in them. So I'm not surprised at all. It's an unfair system, and kind of. One of the reasons when I write, and I write the way I write, is it's really difficult to explain because it's such a cultural thing, but when I write in caps, for instance, you're not supposed to write in caps when you write in South Africa. It's become very popular now. Yeah. They have something called standard Afrikaans. This is not the nice Afrikaans that the housewives teach on their children. So when I write, I'm writing against Afrikaans. Without even having to say a word against Afrikaans, but just by virtue of the fact that I'm writing in this language, it's an act kind of fighting back. And I can promise you this is that by having a book in the language I've written and having that translated into French, it's caused a lot of bitterness here. Because why me? That's the question. Why me? What's the political agenda? It's never kind of it's hard to believe that I've achieved this on merit. Yeah. They don't believe that. They only believe it when it is white writers who gets kind of pushed to the front line. I'm fine with that. I accept it. It doesn't matter to me really. In any case, to me it's more important to. Right, it's a slow battle. It's not something we're trying to, not the fight we want to kind of win overnight. But what I can say about literature at the moment is all the relevant literature, all the important literature is come in this country, is coming from people who look like me, with my cultural background, because we're the only people here who really have anything new to say. Everything else has been said. Second white person who wants to publish a book, it's published. They've said that they've exhausted their stories. They don't have anything else to say.
Yeah.
So that's out there.
Est-ce qu'il y a une stratégie éditoriale qui dirait qu'il vaut mieux rentrer dans le système Afrikaans, English, White, ou qu'il faut créer ses propres réseaux de création, de production et de diffusion?
So, is there a publishing strategy? Would you say that it's better to write in Afrikaans or English did you say by whites or for whites?
Within
the white circles, I suppose. Yeah. Is it important to create a network or is it better? Et après, tu as parlé d'une alternative, Milady, mais j'ai oublié ça.
Ouais, I can try. Yeah, I was. Yeah. Thanks, sorry, Claire.
Sorry, I forgot what you said.
No, it's okay. Some people here, for instance, coming from the Afro-descendant community, they say two things. Some of them say we have to enter the white circles and speed up our strategy to make sure that our language or our voices or everything are part of the white circles to actually mix it up a little bit. And some others say there's no way we're going to go into the systems because we will continue being the black of the white. And we have to create our own platforms, our own media, our own diffusion, our own production. Do you have an idea about that? And do you have, as Claire said, a publishing strategy about that? You and some other people around you?
Well, this is definitely something we've been thinking about. If I should start my own publishing house, I would still need white money to start it.
Yeah.
Okay. So the people who control everything have the people control everything, or white people generally, in South Africa. But that doesn't mean I don't want to do that. It's definitely something I'm interested in doing. When I do eventually do it, I will make sure it's very successful. Because if you're not white, if you're black in this country, you only get one opportunity to do something. And if you fail, and you don't get the opportunity again to do anything. So. But definitely down the line, it's something I want to do. But there's another aspect to that as well, is that here, if you want to books to sell, you have to be nice to white people as well. And you mustn't be too critical. You know, you can be critical about some things, but also it's kind of this prescribed thing that you're allowed to criticize. And you're not supposed to, and you're supposed to always make sure that you acknowledge the literary forefathers. And it's all white people. So when I wrote Chokers and Survivors, one of the poems that you mentioned, Groot Verse book, in your questions, is that, and that poem was deliberately to say, I don't respect you. This is not my literary forefathers. I don't respect them. And I don't want to be nice. I don't want anyone to like me. I'm not looking for your approval. I will do things on my own terms. We've always done things on our own terms. I've always done things on my own terms. I could probably be a lot more successful if I kind of compromise a little. But I don't want to compromise.
No.
I don't want to be part of. I don't want to be at literary events and drink white wine with people who I know despise me. Yeah. They don't want me to be there. They're always looking at you, kind of who brought you here. With who are you? You don't belong here. Yeah. Maybe they're right, but I don't belong there. I don't feel comfortable there. So I keep my own space. I support other writers from my background. I work with them. I edit their work. Whatever I can do, I do. And we're building something very gradually, very slowly. And it's going to be beautiful when it happens. I know it's going to happen because I'm focused on doing that. Yeah. But yeah, to answer. We don't try to be part of, you know, try to be part of publishing any more than we absolutely have to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Time is running, as you know. So I want to ask you about Claire. I'm fine if that's okay with you, but yeah. I wanted to ask you about your previous works. And also the interconnection between the graphic novel, the journalistic ways of doing And all this kind of documenting lives from the areas where you lived or where you still live, I don't know. So what are the different languages and how are you working with your brother, your partner, whatever, to connect all those levels of saying what's happening? I hope you understand my question.
Yeah, I don't understand. I've only done one series of books that was in English. That was because I didn't write it. And that was the graphic novel work I did with Coney Benson, the historian. That was her story. So we kind of, my brother and I, we just did the visuals for that story and kind of tried to compress a PhD thesis into a graphic novel format. So that's all we did there. But everything else I've done, or work that I've done with my brother as well, it's all in CAPS. Even the journalistic work I do, so I write in CAPS for his paper. That's 99% Afrikaans, and I'm like the 1% who writes in different, essentially. It keeps me honest. It keeps me kind of, I'm comfortable with the language. I trust what I say when I say it in that language, in a way that I'm not comfortable with other languages. I can speak English, I can write in English, but I can't be that honest in English as I am in CAPS. But for the graphic novel work, I started out as a graphic novelist, and I'm sort of coming back to that now. I'm busy with a graphic novel at the moment. That's kind of sort of my first love. That visual kind of storytelling, and so maybe you can see that the poetry is very much influenced by the graphic novel, because it's also visual, it's also kind of telling a story. Mm-hmm. So that's just kind of how my mind works. But art, that's what I love doing. And so say my wife, we work together and everything, really, in one way or another. She's kind of part of it. She's kind of the person I like to, I trust the most. Who I can ask, because she's a brilliant writer, also translated into many languages now. So it's a person I look to always, kind of my confidant, person I trust the most, basically to just kind of help keep me honest, really. Yeah, that makes sense.
But why poetry at some stage not to describe, but to speak about the people you spoke about in Chokers and Survivors? Is poetry trying to dilute, or on the opposite, trying to expose more? Why poetry and not more documenting or journalistic language? Or,
you know, poetry, because I wanted to feel something. When I draw, I do other things. Of course, I feel something, and I'm an artist. But for the poetry, more than anything else, it sort of was a way for me to kind of express something more. I can't make music, otherwise I would make music probably.
Okay.
It's the closest thing for me that you can create with words, with words to music is poetry. So it was kind of just for me to get out of the frame of mind of a craftsman and just creating things, but actually to kind of put all my emotions into something and also a lot of these things is just I wasn't able to speak about it really, or I didn't want to speak about it before, and so when the poetry came along, I found a way to speak about those things, and that's why poetry. I have a very clear idea in my mind of why poetry actually. It's just something that kind of I didn't intend to write poetry. I didn't think I'm going to write poetry now. It's just something kind of it felt like a weight lifted off me. I started writing poetry, so that's why poetry.
Yeah, I think I don't know whether Aurélie has to say that to us, but I think we are almost at the end of a very short conversation towards what I wanted to ask you many, many more questions. But do you have something to say about the walls in the area where you live? I like that question. In French, we say "mur blanc, peuple muet." So when there's nothing on the walls, there's no one talking, no one speaking, no voice from the people. So could you say that maybe the front wall or the wall, two walls from your house, what is written on the walls in your area?
So in my house, it's only images.
Okay.
It's only it's dark outside. But it doesn't matter because we live in a very middle class neighborhood now. So there's nothing written on the walls,
yeah,
and
okay.
I never speak to the neighbors. I don't know the neighbors.
Okay.
Because I live in this small university town now. I don't relate to the place. I'm just here.
Okay.
It feels like through what you say is no one's speaking. If I had to refer back to where I come from, where I grew up,
yeah,
a lot of communities on the wall. that's on the walls. It's yeah. I don't even know if I can repeat half of the things. It's always about someone. It's always about someone's cock, to be honest with you.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a lot of that.
Very stuff. Physical. Yeah.
Yeah, and not one clean wall. I'll tell you that. Not one.
Mm-mm. Okay, walls can be papers too. Do you mind ending up our conversation with one of the poems I was asking you to read? Is the one, if I understand well, is your wife's first name?
Yeah.
But do you mind, it's like a dedicated to her, but also dedicated to, this is the last poem of your collection.
Yeah.
And I find it a real opening, and at the end also a good ending. So if you don't mind reading this, and then we will have to say goodbye.
Yeah, I'll do it for you.
Okay.
Ronaldo. Osatalino bibanke, me peruas hobeg. Maar nie verlang hè. Ons het al daar gesit en praat. Ons het hier oor gepraat hè. En ek het hier oor gedink hè. Ons het net rondom mekaar gedraai. Ek het dit so bedoel hè. Ek het dit vir so gesien hè. En nou eerens in my kop het 'n orkest terug, 'n simfonie begin speel. Daar's 'n elektriese karant rondom ons, net trek ons na mekaar toe. Ek praat aan een, my dink ek kan hoor wat ek sê nie. En sy sit net en smile en bewe binne toe. En ek weet wat ek vir jou wil sê. Wat ek wil sê is, moet nie beweeg. Jy moet nie praat. Want as jy nou beweeg, en as jy nou jou mond opmaak, gaan die hele wereld in mekaar uitval.
Thanks, Nathan. I'll see you in Lille next time, yeah?
Yeah, man. Definitely.
Okay.
Definitely. Cheers. Thanks, my lady.
Thank you.
Thanks, Claire.
Thanks.
Thank you.